Hashtag Miranda Show. I am very excited to be with you this evening. We did it again, everyone. Guess who's back? Back again. Miranda's back. Tell a friend. Speaking of telling your friends, one of the reasons why you probably are on here is because you are a fan of thechairshot.com. You are a patron of thechairshot.com because you are listening to this exclusively on thechairshot.com Patreon. So thank you very much for being a patron. I appreciate it because that means someone other than myself gets to hear all my crazy rants related to wrestling and life. So I apologize, but I also thank you for some of that. Another person who also gets to hear me go on my crazy rants, my lovely co-host, Mr. Greg DeMarco. Greg, how are you doing this lovely evening?
I feel lovely, actually.
Yes. Well, you are. You are, Puddin. You're a lovely, lovely, lovely fella.
Aw, Puddin.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, very honored again.
Nice try, though.
Yeah, nice try. I tried. I really tried to be nice to Greg. It lasted all of 30 seconds. New high score, new record. So I'm proud of that.
When is Be Nice to Greg Week on the hashtag Miranda Show?
I'll put that into consideration. Maybe I'll get into the rotation. Who knows? You know, you never know what to expect with the hashtag Miranda Show. You know, every time I zig, maybe you zag. It's unpredictable. Unpredictable. I think Greg gets off fairly easy, you know. I've not made you say one bad thing about Mandy Rose in almost a few months now. So cut me some slack, okay?
All right. You are correct. You have not made me speak ill of Mandy Rose, which is basically a felony at this point anyway. So it's probably.
I know how that like hurts you to the core. Like I've never, I can't even see you, but I feel like I could see like your heart just like crushing every time you even think of saying anything remotely terrible about Mandy Rose. I could feel it. I can sense it.
I think part of that's because you're being another female in the world, you guys are just everywhere and you see everything and you know everything. So, yeah.
Hello. I know everything. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty much what all women do. We all know. We know everything. Mm-hmm. I do have to tell you.
You guys know how to party.
I was going to save this for a one-on-one conversation, but I do feel compelled to maybe share a little bit of insight on my own little personal life. And
are you sure you want to do that? I'm just saying, you're really
you know,
going to save it for one-on-one conversation. I just want to share it with the world. Just making sure.
Well, you know, I'm gonna be a little bit bold today. We talked about women knowing everything, and I was gonna jump into this story of, you know, I'm essentially Sherlock Holmes. I can find anything out. And you may say, like, okay, then why don't you? I use my powers in very different ways. But the headline to this story, and I'll then go a little bit into detail, is how Triple H ruined my first marriage. Triple H helped break up my first marriage. Yes. So that's the tagline. That's the headline. Triple H ruined my first marriage. Essentially, I was married before many, many years ago. And during this marriage, there was a rough point. You know, where, you know, relationship, when you reach a point and maybe you're not seeing eye to eye on things, or, you know, there's just some kind of tension. And I noticed some weird patterns, weird behaviors with my husband at the time. He was being very secretive with his phone. He wouldn't leave it out. He would always lock it. And before, you know, we never had any issues. But as a female, I can just sense when things are a little off, you know. So finally, one night when he was sleeping, I found his phone and I went through it and I noticed that he was texting another girl, you know, and I couldn't get deep into it to know like what the conversation was about. But I, you know, knew like this is what he was hiding. So I got really upset, really like just, you know, angry. And I was like, man, I want you to stop talking to her, so on and so forth. And he agreed. So on and so forth. But later on, you know, I still kind of noticed the same behavior. So I go through his phone and I'm looking through and I'm maybe looking at his contacts thinking, you know what? I just can't see it. Like I just, you know, maybe I'm a mess, you know, because I don't recognize anyone's name that I'm not supposed to, things like that. But then I see a certain name on there and I'm thinking this is a little off. And I see the name Triple H on his phone. I'm thinking, is that a nickname he gave one of his friends? Because my previous husband was a wrestling fan. So we would watch it together.
Okay.
He was, yes, yeah, I know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. First one was. Second one is not. I don't know if I'm just making bad choices or what. But I noticed this Triple H. I'm thinking maybe he's given it to one of his friends. But I'm like, I don't know. I just, something about this. And then I look at the contact and I see the number. And sure enough, it was the girl that I had asked him to stop communicating with. The girl's name was Heather, but he decided to put her name under Triple H as a way to essentially like keep her hidden on his phone. So I confronted him about it and we got into an argument, so on and so forth. It still took a while for the marriage itself to dissolve, but essentially that was a clue. Like looking at that name Triple H was very unsettling to me. So yes, my first husband hid his, and I can't even say girlfriend, you know, maybe allegedly, I never got full answers, but this girl he was texting who was named Heather under the name Triple H so that I wouldn't find out he was communicating with her.
Like, why don't you pick Triple H?
I should be laughing
at your situation.
No, it's
at
funny.
All. Like,
it's funny. It's funny. I mean, that's essentially what happened. Triple H ruined my first marriage. So, I mean, once you get the context, you understand a little bit more. But also, I had to go through phone records. I, you know, broke into, like, it's not jealousy. It truly is a personal hell. Not a hell that I would ever wish on anybody. It was a very paranoid time in my life. But as a woman, like, there's things you just know. There's, you know, senses that you get. And guys, just don't hide women under strange names like Triple H. Just don't. You know, like, you may think you're smart. Like, I'm going to hide this under someone. She does. One, I get it. Like, maybe, oh, it's just my friend that I just nicknamed Triple H. But come on. Like, really? Really?
Who nicknames their friend Triple H?
Who names their friend Triple H? Exactly. Exactly.
Like, I can think of one person who named their friend Triple H, and that was Shawn Michaels. No one else ever named their friend Triple H.
No one.
I mean, come on,
okay?
Dude.
So don't try to outsmart a woman. Don't try to hide things.
That I'm making fun of this. Like, I do, because this is like,
this was many years ago. This was actually about 10 years ago. So it is very much old news. I wouldn't have brought it up if I didn't think it was funny. Please do not feel bad. It is just an odd, funny story that I get to tell every so often, and now apparently the internet. But no other names were released, you know. I did keep the name Heather because that's just part of the story. But other than that, everyone else's identity is anonymous. Oh, except Triple H. Sorry, I threw you under the bus.
This is a stupid question, and I already know the answer. Do I know this person?
No.
Okay.
No.
I didn't know
Nobody knows anybody. No. This was many, many years ago. This is nobody know. I hardly know who this Heather is. It was just some person named Heather, because that was originally what she was under the first time I found her on the phone.
We're also stupid.
And yes, right? And instead of giving her, like, another name, like, you know, I mean, I guess it would have been bad if it was, like, Stephanie, but, like, Triple H, really? You're going to try and pull me on Triple H?
Why don't you go with, I don't know, Tom?
Tom, right?
You know, I mean, just, like, something that no one would ever... Sam? You know.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for another H, just find another, like, male H name.
Yeah. Dwayne. Like, you could go with a wrestling name. Like, there's, you know, there's just stuff you can... Felix. Okay. Like, there's just so many options. Roman. I mean, obviously, 10 years ago, no one used Roman.
I mean, this is 10 years ago. So, Randy.
There you go. Randall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
John.
RK.
The most generic
John,
name
Kirk.
In the entire world. If he would have labeled that John, I would have had no idea. I could have still been missing him to this day. Who knows, though? So I'm glad I found out when I did.
He could have used, you know, since he used Triple H, he could have used Paul. I mean, Paul would have been a good one.
Oh, man.
This is
so
terrible.
Don't try and play a girl. Don't.
You know,
don't,
it's terrible, but I'm going to have some fun with it. Going to hell.
Good, right? Because Triple H ruined, when we're looking at the facts, you know.
I mean, this isn't the first marriage he's ruined. Like, he totally destroyed things for Tess and Stephanie. And look what happened. And now, you know, he ruined your marriage.
Oh,
I mean.
Yeah, he ruined it, you know. Right? So, guys, if you're out there and you're thinking about, you know, maybe stepping out on your lady, that's your prerogative. I'm not here to judge, but just don't try and bring wrestling into it. Wrestling didn't do anything to you.
I mean,
you know,
from a guy to another guy, two bits of information. A piece of advice number one, just don't. Okay, that's the best way to start. Piece of advice number two, if you are going to, maybe don't name her Triple H in your phone.
Yeah, don't name her Triple H in your phone.
Dude, like, goddamn.
I'm being smart. She'll never know that this is Heather if I call her Triple H.
She'll never guess Triple H.
When every other name in your contact list is a normal name. Hello. Anyways, fun times. Now you all know a little bit about me, you know? And I'm still a wrestling
fan. Have I told you... I've told you the Triple H story, right? Like, have I told you that?
Not that I'm aware of.
So,
you may have to jog my memory.
I want to see if I can find it. So this goes back to the message board days when Patrick and I were talking about wrestling on the message boards, not the Wrestling Observer message board that you're a member of, like we joked about the other day, but and it's not coming up. Oh, I'm really sad. So, and that's back to 2005. So a long time ago when we were doing the message board thing, I started a thread on a message board, and the name of the thread was Word Triple, a letter H. And maybe I just need to do triple. I'm going to find it. I'm trying to find it on this message board now to see if I can find the thread. Oh, geez. Wow, I did way too many there. But anyway, so basically, at some point, Triple H went from Hunter Hearst Helmsley to HHH when Shawn Michaels was calling him, you know, HHH or Triple H, to literally they changed his name to the word triple and the letter H like it is today.
Yes.
And we wouldn't think anything of it now, right? I mean, it's obviously
something
that
we're all
used to seeing. But back then it was strange. Like, why in the world did his name become the word triple and the letter H? And I just don't understand how that happened. Any ideas? I don't know.
No, that's a good point, because you would think like, oh, you're just saving, you know, time, but it's this, I mean, you're not, because it's not say. I mean, you still say it the same way. If anything, you're using up more characters. I don't know. That's one of those life's mysteries. You just don't know.
Right. How in the world did it go from the word from HHH to the word triple and the letter H? And it's been the word triple and the letter H for at least 10 years, probably more than that. But it's just, you know, again, like I just remember he walks out on Raw and the little name graphic comes up and it's the first time you'd ever seen the word triple used that way. And I'm like, the word triple? And that just stuck with me forever. The word triple and the letter H. And of course now, you know, it's nothing. It is what it is. But yeah. The word triple.
That's how it was spelled in the contacts. It wasn't just three H's. It was Triple H. So we know
that it's been at least 10 years since Triple H became the word triple and the letter H.
Yeah.
Since this gentleman, we'll call him Paul, just for the fun of it, decided to do. If his name's really Paul, I'll feel bad. But
no,
we'll call
it
him,
is not. Don't worry. Yeah,
we'll call him Paul.
No. Just call him Paul.
If it was, I wouldn't know. So we've barely ever talked about this person. We've barely ever talked about the current person either. But
yeah,
that's okay.
So just fun times. Fun times.
Good job.
So, but who knows?
Good job,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Congratulations. He's
Triple
the guy
H.
Who
you just made the list.
Yes. Yep.
You're
one
can
that
I
ruined
just say
the fun
this
for
now?
Everyone.
This is for me to say. Your ex-husband was a complete idiot. So.
Ah, thank you. Yes.
For that reason too, but also because he put the word triple H in his phone.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
For many reasons. Like, many reasons, but that one especially. Congratulations.
Like, he was a wrestling fan too, right? Like, he was a wrestling fan.
Yeah. I mean, we went to, you know, house shows together. I was with him when they did a house show in Tucson. Many years ago, and this was when the borders on Oracle Road still existed. Cause we went there after the show, and we ran into another infamous wrestling couple, so this should have been a sign. We ran into Edge and Lita there. So many signs. There were so many signs I should have seen. Yeah, should have known.
You think
so?
You know.
I got.
Time to play the game. Shut your dumb mouth.
So what you didn't know was that things being completely off the rails was just going to continue for the entire evening.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's...
Didn't know that either.
I figured I was actually very excited because I'm like, great, I have wrestling stuff to actually talk about on the Hashtag Miranda show. Because if you listen to the Greg DeMarco show, we talked maybe 20 minutes of wrestling and then that went to hell quickly. It's that. But, you know, I mean, this is technically still wrestling related. So I'm doing
this
way
is,
better than
this is better
we did
than
earlier.
Regular wrestling related at this point.
This is way better than regular wrestling.
Up there
wrestling.
With Easter Sunday and the greatest story ever told at this point, because this is amazing. This is so good.
This is why you have to listen to the hashtag Miranda Show. Look, I know sometimes this show can be kind of random and quirky, but I have some gems out there. I have some legit gems.
Oh, this is
gems.
A gem.
I'm not gonna show you all my cards right away. I mean, what's the fun in that? You gotta come in and listen in. I've gotta get a little bit deeper. So
you did today.
So, yeah, I mean, why not? I got inspired after reading all of those Endgame spoilers. I thought, man, such a great story. So many parallels between that and this story. So
I'm sure there were tons of parallels.
So many parallels.
The world is going to be saved because the person who can actually save the world is going to be saved in Thanos' cell phone as Triple H. And that's we're all going to find
don't
it.
Don't get all the spoilers out there. God.
Sorry. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, everyone. Spoiler alert. Triple H is the key to save the world in Endgame. And, so now here's the cool thing. Now you don't have to go see the movie. So
I just saved you.
You're welcome.
$5. I saved you a bunch of money. What you could do with that money instead is go buy a T-shirt on ProWrestlingTees.com for the chair shot. Yeah, that's your money. Way better spent. Way better spent. Just my opinion.
That was impressive. That was using your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is genius. So I would like to talk about a few wrestling related items on today's show. Fairly.
You might as well.
Yeah, fairly quickly. I mean, speaking of the internet, I mean, I think the internet, I'm surprised it's still working, because I think there's a few news stories that almost broke the internet just recently. And I played a little pun of words that was terrible, but, still funny to me when Greg showed us or changed actually the picture of our group chat to the face of Bray Wyatt. I chimed in with break with BRAY-K, the internet.
Well, that one was good.
Yes.
That one was good.
That was great. 1.7 million views in one day, 24 hours, of Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse segment on Raw. 1.7 million views. The internet lost its mind with this segment. And I want to say it's because of how strange, but also funny, but also not funny, but also weird. Like, so many words, things come to mind as to everyone just losing their mind, thinking this is the greatest thing that's on there. 1.7, and granted, maybe not 1.7 separate people. I'm sure there was, some people who played this probably, 30 times. But still, that means millions of people, though, or at least a million people, have watched this all over the world thinking, oh my gosh, this is genius. He's done it. He's finally done it. After all this time, he's figured out something so fitting of him, but also that appeals to wrestling fans, that he's, I mean, first off, I do think it is interesting how these little puppet characters came into play. I forgot their names, but the fact that we even saw them again was surprising. Granted, there's a bunny
either.
There's a bunny missing, so that's
that
how they drag you in. Where's the bunny? Hashtag the bunny.
Just like you just said, though, Miranda, like you just said that you can't just play all your cards on one shot. I mean, Cool.
Yeah, apparently. Maybe, and is this Adam Rose's bunny? Like, is this, you know, Party Bunny? Or is this, where did the bunny come from? So many questions that I have.
Ooh, the Adam Rose's bunny. Like, could the bunny suit make a return? Because that would be amazing.
Oh,
like, seriously.
Oh, my gosh. The bunny suit returning. And people are going to love it, though. Like, it's just so random that people are going to be like, genius, take my money. I don't know what's going on here, but they'll put another 1.7 million views on this. I'm curious, like, how this even got to fruition. I think on paper it sounds like a, you know, a kind of a demented Pee-wee's Playhouse thing, which, you know, older fans, I think, like us, kind of appreciate and know because, you know, we've seen it as kids and maybe didn't understand the context, some of that as kids. And as we got older, it's like, oh, well, now that makes sense. But this whole play on him being this almost like buff Mr. Rogers, something with this is just, it's kind of off kilter, but also very appealing at the same time. And he brought out a chainsaw to essentially, get to just slash the old Bray Wyatt. So the old Bray Wyatt is gone. He has literally been chainsawed. And we have this new Bray Wyatt. I mean, we thought only Daniel Bryan kind of had rights to that. But we have the new Bray Wyatt, and everyone is loving it. I'm just more surprised than anything of how popular this has gotten over the past 24 hours. Greg, I'm a little afraid to ask what your thoughts are, but fuck it. You know, what do you think?
I love it. So I absolutely love what they're doing, number one. I think this is just too much fun, too fantastic. There's some really interesting and fun theories out there. First of all, I'm kind of with you in what you said earlier and even the joke you said about yourself. Like, I think that we've barely scratched the surface with whatever craziness is going to come out of Bray Wyatt and all this. Because if you listen closely, there are times where his voice changes and kind of goes to the old Bray Wyatt voice. And so I don't think that's an accident at all. These segments were also produced by an outside producer that they brought in to produce them, I found out. A little sleuth work on my own there because the person tweeted about it.
Yeah.
And so he was brought in to
finding the news.
Some of these. I don't know if this person had anything to do with any of the broken stuff. There's some theory that Matt Hardy is somehow involved in this, and I don't know if that's, you know, really true or not. He is half of the SmackDown Tag Team Champions right now. So but I could definitely see some influence being there. The theory I like the best is that Bray is actually in a mental institution, and that's where these are being recorded.
Oh, man. That'd be great.
Because he made some random tweets that were like, there was one that was labeled day 3 and one that was labeled day 23 or something like that, and it talks about the subject. And so that could maybe he's reading notes and about himself. I don't know. But, yeah, it could be deep if they choose to go deep with a character for once. Who knows?
Yeah.
But kind of crazy.
I think so, too. You want to stay away from going too deep. I think fans are actually interested in who this particular Bray Wyatt is. I can see if maybe that theory of maybe in a mental institution and he switches characters almost. But I also would be concerned that if you switch too much, people are going to lose interest, possibly. Especially the immediate feedback that they've gotten with this, the ball is really in their court, you know? I think that it's phenomenal for Bray. I mean, he's been kind of bashed on for a while after the Deleter of Worlds, went away and things that happened with the Wyatt family as far as, you know, that particular faction not having as much success as I think people had anticipated or had hoped for, or even him as an individual having as much maybe success on TV. So having this kind of complete redo in a way that kind of just makes that pokes fun of him, that pokes fun of wrestling, that pokes fun of sanity almost, people just having wrestling itself having sanity. I think just people are really enjoying it. So I mean, you got me hooked. I'm very interested to see what happens next. And I'm also interested to see how this translates as someone who may come into the ring. I think that's also going to be a big factor in this, is that these vignettes are really great, but how does this translate to someone who is entertaining in the ring, who actually can
right.
tell a compelling story? And if those two things don't jive well, you know, does that negatively impact him, or does he almost become just a TV star and less than a wrestling star, if that makes sense?
So I have something for you.
Shut up!
Because, you know, stories can take place over a long period of time. And so what if, like, 9 months from now, and I use that number for a very specific reason, you know, give or take, we find out that, like, JoJo was behind the whole thing. And she was trying to change Bray and you know, escape him from where he was. And literally the whole thing comes down to JoJo. Because, like, they don't need her to ring announce. They got ring announcers. They got plenty of women running around doing who knows what. So, you know, and that's not even the wrestlers who, you know, can get in the ring and wrestle and do great things. You know, I vote just let Kayla Braxton announce everything. You know how I feel about that. So we're fine there.
Yeah. Big
I mean,
fan,
why not? I mean, she's the most underutilized talent they have on the entire roster. So, I mean, everybody's talking about Dana Brooke. Give me Kayla Braxton. But JoJo could totally be like the Sister Abigail to this new Bray Wyatt. Like it, I just 100% I'm there for it. Like, one, you can't convince me otherwise. I'm there. It's funny, you mentioned the puppets, though, and you got the Buzzard, which is, of course, you know, the Buzzard, and then you got that other daughter, I don't know what her name is, but she's obviously an homage to Sister Abigail, and which is really funny, too, because I, like a lot of wrestling fans, for some crazy reason, always pictured Sister Abigail looked like Paige. I don't know if you've pictured Sister Abigail looking like Paige, but to me, she always looked like Paige. What do you how did you always picture Sister Abigail?
Not like Paige per se. I mean, I guess I had imagined her with dark hair, maybe like more
Paige,
scraggly hair. But not like jet black hair almost, or not even super pale. I mean, when looking at some of the other members of the Wyatt family, I would imagine it kind of more wavy, and I wouldn't imagine anyone like pretty. And like as much as Paige is, you know, as you know, rock and roll and punk rock she is, she's also still very pretty. And whatever you do, she's still gonna be pretty. So, no, I guess I never did, because I thought of someone like a little bit more plain Jane type of style.
She's just so, so pretty.
Nikki Cross would have made a perfect Sister Abigail. Which can still happen. I mean, because we still don't know what's going on with Nikki Cross and Killian Dane. And they're married, so they got to be on the same brand, or they're engaged or whatever. So, you know, maybe Charlotte can get them pulled up to
the
main roster.
Yeah, maybe if they, like, make a request
point.
With Charlotte, Charlotte will get working on it.
I will
and
say this.
Maybe
for all the crap
to
people want to give them, like, Charlotte, Andrade, Zelina, and Aleister Black is the episode of Ride Along we all need to see at this point. Like,
yes.
That's
money.
Yesterday.
That's all that
yes.
I want. You're talking yes. about, like, you know, I know they would never show up on probably Total Divas, but, like, I would just want to watch, like, what that looks like behind the scenes. Like, just I'll sit there and watch for hours. I just want a glimpse of it. And you brought up a good point earlier on your show about the fact that Charlotte has that clout, a woman has that clout. I'm for it all day.
Oh, me too.
For many, many years in the wrestling business, it's always been about the men and what kind of clout that they have or influence. And now, I mean, this is a true sign of some equality, some women's rights. And I say that I actually did put up my fist. Oh, my God, it's happening. I'm becoming a mark. It's happening. Women's rights. So, you know, a woman can come in and say, no, Vince, I want to have my fiance on the road with me and have him on the same show. And they said, all right. So I'm for it, Charlotte. You shift. Just give all the rosters to Charlotte. Let her shift them up. Because apparently that's what's happening. I mean, you cannot, or all these creative moves have to be Charlotte approved. Hashtag Charlotte approved. Yeah, I mean, I'm not mad at that. One final thing I do want to talk about is, and again, something very near and dear to my heart, something that did happen with the Superstar shakeup, and something that I'm just excited about. This is still very new. This is still in its infancy. But I think that someone who moved from one brand to another, in particular, I think could be saved. This person, this character could be saved. Maybe it's a turning point where now we start to see them in a different light. And that was very apparent for me when I was watching SmackDown tonight, and you may know where I'm going with this, is I think that the superstar shakeup could have saved Bayley. Tonight, she jumped in, not literally jumped in, but she came in during a segment where Charlotte and Becky were back and forth fighting on Charlotte getting an opportunity to face Becky. Right now, Lacey Evans will be facing Becky at Money in the Bank for the Raw Women's Championship. And Becky's calling Charlotte out saying, you know what? You've had your chance. Not only have you had your chance, you've had multiple chances. Now it's time for someone else to step up and take it and have their own chance. And someone who comes in and steps in is Bayley. Bayley comes in appreciating, you know, Becky shouting her out and pretty much challenging Charlotte, saying, you know what? Everything that you've gotten has been handed to you. I'm here to make you to earn it. And the interaction she had with Charlotte, just standing up to her, I was just so proud. I was so proud of my girl Bayley. I was very excited that she was treated as an underdog, which she has played beautifully throughout her career, but also as an adult. I think that one thing about her character that happened through the course of Raw and somewhat through her partnership with Sasha Banks is that she was almost like a child. And I'm so glad that she was able to come into this situation and really just approach Charlotte woman to woman. And to have the three of those women together, an interaction we haven't seen since NXT pretty much. She had a really great match against Charlotte, unfortunately lost. But I think that this is setting the tone for great things to come for Bayley. And who knows, maybe Bayley could be the next Becky. I mean, Becky came about with the support of the fans because Charlotte, in some people's views, was handed everything. And Becky had to fight and claw her way up. Who better to tell that story on SmackDown than Bayley? We know that the story can be told by her. She truly is, even in her career, as established as it is, she can always come through as this underdog. And SmackDown has been viewed as the land of opportunity. I think SmackDown has a great opportunity now to tell another underdog story because Becky's at the top. She is two belts Becky. She's already made it. So I think it's going to be harder to keep telling that underdog story with her, whereas in they need someone new. They've told it with Kofi beautifully. So to say copy and paste, but I think that SmackDown has just been able to tell these underdog stories in ways that, you know, Raw hasn't been able to. And I think Bayley is a natural fit for that. So, Greg, I know I didn't say anything about the hashtag Miranda rights today, and you thought you were going to get away with it, but and maybe you were already going to go into this direction, but I'm just going to solidify it. You can only say nice things about Bayley and this idea that I have, so go ahead and tell me what you think.
So I did find it funny that you found a way to make this about Bayley getting like a monster Becky Lynch push in the end. Like,
yes.
Like you,
yes.
You got there. It took a while because it's you, but you got there, and that was the most impressive part of the whole thing. Was like, when does this end up with like Bayley beating John Cena and becoming an 18-time world champion? Like, when does this happen? And eventually, it did. Because as we all have already said, like, you're retired John Cena. Then
yes,
Brock Lesnar,
John Cena.
Then The Undertaker, then Roman Reigns. You're going to retire all of them. Ric Flair's going to come out of retirement and get retired by Bayley as well.
Yeah,
like just let Bayley retire everybody. Because we basically determined in the past, maybe not on not on this show, but in person, you are Bailey, like in human form. Not that she's not a human, but she's a character. You are like the equivalent of Bailey. We've made that determination.
Oh yeah,
pretty much.
Yes, yes. She is my spirit animal.
Yes, she is your spirit animal. So if she's your spirit animal, does that mean I'm stuck with this spirit animal?
Yeah. Take the fish.
I'm okay with it, honestly. I'm okay.
Yeah, that's not bad. You could be worse.
I could be worse. I could be like Zack Ryder.
I know. He's a tag team champion.
That on the same brand as the War Machine Viking Raider Experience, or the fuck they're called this week.
Make it into their character.
Here's the sad thing. He's engaged to Chelsea Green, and that's still not even enough for me to be like, yeah, I'd be Zack Ryder. So, yeah.
Not funny.
But true. So you basically went all full in. You went all in on not on a Ring of Honor pay-per-view that people don't realize is a Ring of Honor pay-per-view, but you went all in on Bayley as basically the next Becky Lynch and the next, you know, Ric Flair at this point is what you went all in on. There's a wild card factor that you didn't consider in all of that, and that, you know, Triple H, it's, you know, of course, you know, we started the show with Triple H. He might think that Bayley's going to be the star. Heck, Becky might want it. Sasha Banks might want it. Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon. But we need approval from one person before we can buy into Bayley as the next 18-time world champion in WWE. Funny question. I texted this to Patrick O'Dowd, and I'm going to ask you now. We, you know, I don't know if you know this, but we have a website. It's called thechairshot.com. You know we have a website. You don't know it has a Twitter at thechairshot.com. I really want to write an article. Top five things Charlotte Flair should ask for next. Like that's what I want to write. I think it could be really good.
I'm going to read that article.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to come up with the top five things that Charlotte Flair should ask for next, and then I'm going to write it. So, yeah, look out for your Facebook Messenger tomorrow. We're going to figure this out.
Okay, and, we're going to write this article.
Top five things that Charlotte Flair should ask for next. And, I mean, it could be some serious things like health insurance could be on there. You know,
health insurance.
Benefits in general could be one.
A specific name for the Viking Raider experience.
Yes, turn her back to War Machine. That'll be one that we'll do as well. So there's a lot that we can do.
I mean,
you know.
Yes, it may have to get the Charlotte approval, but I mean, hey, she has fantastic matches with Charlotte. And as much as their particular program on Raw wasn't the best, they had some really good matches, and one of the best matches that Bayley's had on the main roster was her main event against Charlotte. So they have great chemistry.
Yeah.
And I'm actually excited if they do maybe pursue a program while Becky's dealing with Lacey. I'm not mad at that, you know? Will Bayley probably get over? No. But it sets her up as, again, telling her underdog story and building her up. It worked beautifully in NXT. It can happen again. But, I mean, look, I got to just find the silver lining in all this shakeup. And as much as Raw viewership did go down because Bayley was not there, I mean, let's face it, that's what happened. I do have to be happy with the fact that she's getting maybe a good program coming up on SmackDown with Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to be said for Bayley. I think you're right about one thing. I think the move to SmackDown was great for Bayley. It was a positive for Bayley, in my opinion. We were all, one of the big names that we were all saying should move to SmackDown was Sasha Banks, and they kind of accomplished the same thing by moving Bayley over there. I honestly think, even though, you know, this whole thing was supposedly birthed by the whole tag team title situation, and if, I don't know if you've listened to that episode of Driving with DeMarco, but you'll know my feelings on that, and we can talk about that. Yeah. But I think it's best for both of them to split up, and I think that moving Bayley over was a great idea. You said, talked about, you know, get over, she'll never get over. And that's the one thing. For all the complaining that I do about Bayley and how her character is a child and this and that, she's over, in my opinion. Like, I don't think that she's not over whatsoever. I think she's over, and I think she's going to work there for a really long time. I just don't know that she'll always be in the forefront. But, I do. I definitely think she's over, and I think that this, yeah, maybe this is the chance. Who knows?
Yes, especially after they decided to not move forward with a Bayley versus Sasha program. And
ever,
decided
probably.
Ever. I think that, too, like, once that kind of died out, I thought this is their, you know, I, as much as I did like them being tag champions, I just felt like her time on Raw, it was going to be very hard for her to build herself back up with Sasha still there. It's almost kind of that weird connection with someone where sometimes you need to be separated in order to reestablish your identity. And I felt like the longer she was going to be tied to Sasha in that way, the harder it was going to be for her to be herself in a way, like to not always be considered part of this duo of Sasha and Bayley. I think before the tag titles, it was, you know, Sasha and Bayley, four horsewomen, there's rivalry, but then through the story of the tag championships, again, it was a great story to tell, but I just felt like they've just lost so much momentum on their story in the long run. And especially, I think Sasha just is Teflon, you know, she's, could go through a bad program or maybe even a bad match, but she'll jump or, you know, right back up. I think for Bayley, it's just been much more harder, you know, after she went through a program with Alexa Bliss. Like, that really, to me, was more damaging than it helped her at all. And so I think she just doesn't have that type of Teflon that Sasha Banks has. So I'm really glad she has this new start. Hopefully they revisit that one day. But another good point that she brought up with Becky is that Becky has never beat her. We haven't seen a lot of Becky and Bayley interactions. Hell, we barely even saw that in NXT. So I think that that's also a lot of story that just hasn't been told yet. And I think that's just a bigger concept within the Superstar Shakeup, is that there's just a lot of stories that have not been explored yet that now we can look into and go into deeper, which is great, which is why we should all keep an open mind to it. Again, I'm just really excited for this. Hopefully it's a sign, this week's show was a sign of better things to come for Bayley, and she can actually be viewed as a really good contender. It looks like, though, however, they don't plan on unifying these belts, that they're going to somehow get the one belt back on Raw, one back on SmackDown, whatever it is. And once they do that, then maybe Bayley will have more of a proper opportunity. But again, I just look at some of the patterns they've had on SmackDown, especially in the build-up to WrestleMania, and it just seems like SmackDown has a show where people can shine, where underdogs are rooted for, where people can come to the forefront, and who better to do that than Bayley? So you go, Bayley.
You go, Bayley. That's the best way to put it. So I got a couple questions for you. This is your show, and it's the hashtag Miranda Show. And so I want your opinion on a few things, just because I want to know what you think. So two different ones. I'll dive in with, I guess, the heavier one first, and then we'll do a more fun one second. So as you said, you said yes, so I'm assuming you heard it. But on the Sasha Banks episode of Driving with DeMarco, I shared that I don't think the tag titles had much to do with Sasha Banks and her current situation, her current unhappiness. To me, it was all about the fact that Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, and Ronda Rousey got to perform in the main event of WrestleMania 35, the first ever women's main event, and Sasha wasn't in it. And I think, to me, that's what got to her, and I think that's why she is where she is right now. But what do you think?
To me, I guess it's harder for me to think that that was directly influenced or that has directly influenced her decision. And I was able to capture some of your drives with DeMarco because you did talk about how Sasha has been in pretty much every pivotal moment for women in WWE over the past 4 years.
Yeah, basically except for this
one. Know. Yes.
I mean, she was the first ever female entrant in the female Royal Rumble. Like,
yeah,
can't go away. There's so many firsts that she got to do.
Been so hard on how that would have even worked out, how to even bring Sasha into this. And I think with both the tag titles and the women's championship running parallel, it would have been in some ways, like, you can't have both. You can't be both the first tag title holder and also in the main event of WrestleMania. So I think that the decision to make her part of the first ever women's tag team titles, probably as much as having that first main event of WrestleMania would have been important, I think that was probably just where her focus was more compared to the other side, because it just, there was no way to incorporate her. It just wouldn't have made any sense. And
right.
Maybe from a personal standpoint, it's all, you know, I could see what you mean by like, well, it doesn't matter. I still would have wanted to be in there. Well, of course,
right.
Every woman would have wanted to be in there. There's just logistically just does, it can't happen. So to me, I guess short answer is no. I can't say that
right.
particular instance had an effect on her unhappiness.
And then short-term booking, it's hard to see how she would be in there. She might think long-term because, remember, she believed she was wasted for all of 2018. So if she wasn't wasted, she could have been in position to be in the first ever women's main event of WrestleMania. Plus, someone pointed out to me after listening to it that I hadn't even realized. I guess in an interview a couple years ago, she said, if women main event WrestleMania and she's not in the match, it'll break her. Was the exact quote that she said. So, which I found out about after the fact. So, interesting to see. And I just think that because I think she's talented enough to have been in the main event of WrestleMania.
Very true.
And she still is. But the biggest one that I loved that I pointed out in that episode, she was the first woman to not lose by submission to Ronda Rousey. Like, that to me is a big deal. Of course, Becky Lynch also did beat Ronda Rousey by submission in WrestleMania. Instead, it was a fluky pin. So there's that too. So the more fun one.
Yeah.
So with – and this is also, I think, I said on this episode. So and I hate to do this because they deserve better, and I also hate the phrase deserve better. But I hate to do this, but the comparison to me at this point is obvious. I think you can easily compare the four horsewomen to four of the biggest stars in WWE history. You've got Bayley, who is basically the John Cena of the four horsewomen. Like, she's there for the kids. She's got the bright colors. She's got all that stuff. You've got Becky Lynch, who for better or for worse is now the Stone Cold Steve Austin of the four horsewomen. You've got Sasha Banks, which to me, based on her attitude and leaving and whatever, she's the Shawn Michaels of the four horsewomen. Which, of course, we all know, especially based on what she just pulled this weekend, Charlotte Flair is obviously the Triple H of the Four Horsewomen. I mean, love it or hate it, I feel like it's too obvious at this point not to just accept who these four women are.
Yeah, I agree. And there's been so many comparisons in the past with, you know, Bayley being like this female version of John Cena, someone that could cater to kids and, you know, this huge audience of wrestling fans. And overall, you have these kind of male counterparts as a way to, you know, draw some comparisons and parallels with careers and styles and attitudes. But I think it's done in only a complimentary way, as the fact that they have gotten to this caliber that there is even an equivalent. You know, I think for a long time there was, you know, just, you know, women were literally in their own and wouldn't even attempt at crossover. But the fact that there is now, I think it's a beautiful thing. And if anything, just like, you know, Charlotte has pulled her own cards, maybe this is a way that Sasha Banks is doing it as well. You know, not only can men decide to walk out or decide that they're not unhappy, women can do it too. And women have the ability to hold the cards close to their chest and make some of these demands. And I think that this is a very big step for women in professional wrestling. You know, granted, this is all based on speculation on whether she's happy or not or what it is. There has not been anything 100% confirmed, but if it truly is, she's just holding out because she's unhappy. You know what? What does she have to lose in a way? I mean, in some ways, it's going to be a bigger role in her career is if this is a way for her to actually get some more momentum on her side and in her career that other female wrestlers can utilize in the future, just like it has for other men. So, I can't say 100% for sure what's happening or why it is, but you know, when you feel like you're kind of out of, don't know what else to do, maybe this just feels like the only thing you can do. But we'll just see where it goes. But I also do think that some of these power moves that have been happening more recently shows that, you know, not only can women main event WrestleMania and main event pay-per-views, but they can throw their weight too. And the company seems to be taking them seriously. So literally more power to them, more power to them.
And it seems like more power is going to them. There's an age old adage, where there's smoke, there's fire. I think that's what I look at with the Sasha Banks situation. And of course, wrestling news struggles because we know there's smoke. The problem is no one really knows what the fire is. And so that's where they're making up the stories is because they're trying to make up what the fire is. And of course, Everyone, this is that kind of news that everyone wants to be true. And so that's why it kind of gets a life of its own and goes absolutely crazy. But I think you're right what you said earlier about Bayley and that John Cena character. That's why I think she'll always have a job. Like, even if she's not in the forefront, Even if I complain about her, she's great for them to have. She's great for kids. She's a great role model for little girls. Hell, she's a great example for little boys. And to me, that just says that she should be there forever, and I think she will be there forever as long as she wants to be. So, plus, people don't remember. Like, if you go back and watch Breaking Ground, which was a hell of a great series on the WWE Network, she did a lot backstage at NXT, and so she might have a big future in that area as well. So there's a lot that could be done on that, and as long as she allows. And that's why another reason why the move to SmackDown could be good. Bayley tweeted at some point that she thought after the move, I think it was like over the weekend or whatever, that she said she might actually like this whole SmackDown thing or something like that. So
don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah, well, she's trying it on. Nothing. And she did lose to Charlotte because LOL Charlotte wins. But
yeah, I mean, you know what? But there's worse things that could happen. Losing to Charlotte, it's not bad. She was losing to much worse on Raw, all right? So.
Yeah. So did at one point, Becky Lynch put over somebody in like a minute and a half or something. So, and look where she just ended up. I mean.
Yeah.
We all know how this stuff works. We do. Like, we all know how this works.
It's a vicious cycle. Vicious cycle. Yeah.
It is.
But, Greg, we have talked actually about more wrestling today on this show than we did the Greg DeMarco show. This is a first.
See what happens when you don't worry about your little games? Uh-huh. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, look, the games may come, you know. They go. But they're always going to stay, you know. And I did distract the whole world with my fun little story about how you just don't cross women because we do find everything out.
Right.
And we will find you. Like, that is not a threat. That's a promise.
He did it to himself. I mean, he did it to himself doing it. But B, Triple H, come on, dude.
To paraphrase a great saying, you know, Paul screwed Paul, you know?
Oh, my goodness, that's so good. Yeah. That really is so good.
He screwed himself, but, you know, again, the Miranda Show, I know many of you may decide to listen in because you want to hear Greg say and do embarrassing things. Trust me, it's why I do this show. However, every so often, it's good to throw in some other tidbits of wrestling fun in there. You never know what you're going to get. And again, this is exclusive for patrons of the Chair Shot Patreon. So if you're listening to this, and you aren't a patron somehow, maybe a friend sent it to you, maybe Greg sent it to you, I don't know. But you can find things like this being a patron as little as $5 a month. You can hear all of my embarrassing stories that I have kept locked deep inside of me that only my therapist that I pay tell, you know. So, I mean, usually people, like I pay people to tell these stories. But then you can, like, pay to hear this and lots of other exclusive content. You have Drives with DeMarco, where Greg is driving an hour and a half each way. Good Lord, man.
Yeah, I later corrected that. It's more like 75 minutes. It used to be, before the company went under, the old company, used to be an hour and a half, and now it's more like 75. So, yeah.
Yes. But still, long, really insightful, you know, just really great information and kind of opinions pretty much from Greg DeMarco. You have Potted More that's also on there. Lots of other articles that no one else or you as a patron get the, kind of the first exclusive taste of. So lots of great content on the Patreon. So, again, an investment worth making. I already spoiled Endgame for you, so again, you don't need that money to go spend and watch Endgame. You can take that, invest it as a patron on the Patreon, and it's way worth it. It's way worth more than a ticket to Endgame that you can find spoilers on Reddit anyways for free, but that wasn't what I was doing earlier on the Greg DeMarco show. No, not at all. Was not reading
no,
any
not
of those
all.
Spoilers. Not at all. But again, thank you
that
to,
was just
to
your
all
character.
Of the listeners.
Your character
yes.
was doing that.
The character. So, yes, kayfabe is not dead.
No.
But everyone in Endgame is. Hey!
Wow.
No, not true. Not true. That's just another rumor, and I had to somehow tie in everyone dying. So what is it? That's really the best scenario. That's the only thing I could tie it into. Can't actually say anything about other people, like, you know, Avengers Fallen. The point is, go ahead and just continue to support the Chair Shot through Patreon, through purchasing amazing t-shirts on ProWrestlingTees.com. Greg, you are on Twitter. Can you tell our lovely audience where they can find you at?
They can find me on the Twitter at ChairShotGreg is where you can find me and probably end up blocking me. So, but it
yeah,
all starts with
I mean,
the finding them.
Yeah, you can find them and then block them. But you can't block them unless you find them. So that's the way that goes. You know, he'll say something that pisses somebody off. I mean, it's not a day of the week if Greg DeMarco is not getting someone agitated.
Pretty much.
But
yeah.
That's the way we like it. I am not on Twitter because y'all just don't need to know. If I'm going to tell you things about me, I'm not going to do it through Twitter. I'm going to make you listen to me on my show. And that's how you'll find out what's happening with me, what is going on with me. However, on the complete opposite side of that and completely contradicting myself, I am also on Facebook, which is the social media of old people. But you can find me on Facebook where you can message me. You can give me ideas for hashtag Miranda Writes. You can tweet those at Greg as well, where you can suggest to Greg or myself what embarrassing things should Greg do in the future. There's so many. I mean, literally an encyclopedia of things we could make Greg DeMarco say or do. So feel free to make suggestions. This is a show for the people, possibly by the people, if you give me some suggestions. So we could do a lot with these hashtag Miranda Writes, but, you know, you just got to express. You got to just lay out. What do you think we should make Greg DeMarco do? And fuck him, fuck yourself is not one of them, okay? So don't get any ideas. Don't, you know, let's make this legit. Don't play with me.
I can earn someone telling me that on my own. I don't need that.
Right, exactly.
I can get that suggestion.
Give me real ideas. Yes, yes. No, that's not how this works. Just give some really good ideas. But again, thank you everyone for listening into this week's show. We will be back next week with more wrestling news, wrestling information, maybe some wrestling stories, maybe some randomness. Who knows? But for sure, we'll probably, you know, say and do some silly things, make Greg probably say some silly things, and make him probably instantly regret it. So that's worth the money in and of itself. So thank you, everyone. Have a good night. And see you. Well, maybe I'll see you. Probably not. But I will be here next week. You'll hear from me next week. Man, this is why shows need closings.
They do.
So
they really do.
Much. Adult. Yeah. Adult. Adult. Adult.